Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the 21CD podcast, where we ask the hard questions, discuss the dystopian, and examine alternative theories. As always, I am your host, John, and this is your co-host, Billy Bones, back there blinking and looking about. That's all he can really do anymore. Poor guy, but we love him for what he is. If you want to see me and Billy Bones in beautiful 4K, you can head on over to the YouTube and do that. I know a lot of you guys like to listen to your podcast while you're at work, driving in your trucks, or doing whatever you're doing. I am just here to let you know, if you would like to watch video, every single episode has a video aspect to it, and it is up on the YouTube in beautiful 4K. Sometimes I upload photos there, and sometimes you just get a little more bang for your buck. And right now your buck is free, so if you want more than you're already getting for free dollars, come on over to the YouTube and just look at my beautiful face and watch Billy Bones blink. So whether or not you're here for the first time, please consider liking, following, commenting, or leaving 5 stars wherever you rate. This really helps me break into the algorithm and prove to the young children of the world that there really are monsters under their bed, and they are looking for them. And this is one of those things that I am just so desperately attempting to prove. Just kidding, kids. There's no monsters under your bed. They're just outside in the woods. But, yeah, please like, follow, comment, or leave 5 stars. And if you have a Spotify account, if you could head over to Spotify real quick and just drop me a 5-star rating, because some losers went on my Spotify recently and have really been attempting to drop my rating by rating me lower than I think I deserve. So thanks. You guys rock. Today we're going to be talking about a cryptid. And this is one that I never found myself or thought of myself as liking. I never had any sort of interest in this cryptid. And as a matter of fact, when most people would mention this cryptid, I would usually roll my eyes and just kind of like not really have anything to say about it. But then I heard something accidentally about it, and I was like, that's interesting. That's something that I think I like. And it probably had something to do with portals or dimensions or something. But after that, I was hooked. So I started researching this cryptid, and things were blowing my mind. But I quickly realized that I was getting an entirely different picture of this cryptid than literally everybody else, including the people who have had sightings and experiences with it. I don't think this cryptid is what we think it is, and I think it is different than all of us have said it is. And so if you are like me and you roll your eyes when I name this cryptid, just try to continue to the end of this episode, because there's something that I have to say. And on the 21CD podcast, you know what we do? We examine alternative theories. I have an extremely alternative theory to what everybody else has said about this cryptid. So today, without further ado, I am happy to announce that we will be discussing the Mothman. Now, a lot of you guys might be super mega fans of the Mothman, because Mothman is kind of like a celebrity. Like, people who like Mothman really, really, really like Mothman. I mean, he has his own, like, festival and his own museum and stuff, and so he's kind of a big deal. And so if you guys hear this theory and you're kind of just like, that's not what Mothman is. I know it's different than what you're used to, but I think it's really cool, and I think you guys should give it a shot. So let's get right into it. I believe that trying to prove or disprove folklore and cryptids is somewhat of a pointless endeavor. Not because they don't exist, but because the witnessing of something so profound would be such a singularly profound experience. And what I mean by that is, like, singularly profound meaning if you saw a cryptid, it's profound for you. It's incredible for you. But if you go home and you describe that cryptid to somebody else, it's not going to be as profound to them, and they might not even believe you. And that's where they say, you know, seeing is believing. Many believe they have proven the existence of various cryptids, and yet that cryptid remains a mystery to the world as a whole, because the world as a whole hasn't seen the cryptid, but you have. And that's why it's singularly profound. So proving the existence of these things is almost like, and especially in this day and age, people would just call it CGI. People would just be like, that's not real. And to that end, who knows how many cryptids we've actually seen that are real, but because we as humans are so hesitant to believe in these things, we immediately discredit the proof. And to me, that's fascinating, and there's something deeply satanic and psychological when it comes to why people do not believe in cryptids, and that's a story for another episode, but it's brewing within me. Why don't people believe in cryptids? Why can't we prove it to people? We're going to talk about that in a further out episode. But anyway, all that being said, I am a bit of a monster hunter myself, though I don't really like calling myself a monster hunter. I'm more of an experience hunter. I am one of those individuals searching for their singularly profound experience, and I've been all over the world doing, you know, looking for my profound experiences, and I have had several, and several of them you have heard of on this podcast. In my efforts to find more singularly profound experiences, I've started looking into these monsters that are all over the place and trying to figure out how I can insert myself into their realm. And ironically, and, you know, it's such a blessing, but I get to do that this weekend with the Tony Merkel squad when everybody goes a monster hunting. I don't know how much I can actually say, so I'm not going to say much at all, but I get to have one of those profound experiences, hopefully, this weekend. And you know, I'm pretty stoked for that. We're going to do some crazy stuff. You guys are probably like, what, are you guys looking for Mothman? No, but maybe, what if, I don't know. Whoever is out there, that's who we're looking for. But, yeah, so there's going to be some exciting stuff to come when it comes to singularly profound experiences, and I'm excited to share those with you on the podcast. But that's not really where I was going. It just sort of flashed in my brain because I'm losing my mind every single day, and they're attempting to drug me, my coffee, so that I can't speak like I should be able to. But one such place that I've directed my attention to in an effort to discover and display something profound is the topic of the elusive Mothman. That's what I'm trying to say. If Tony hears this and he's like, oh, he dropped it. Fine. Sorry, Tony. The cat's out of the bag. So the Mothman, the mysterious for those who don't know what the Mothman is, the Mothman is a mysterious, gigantic humanoid moth creature. He stands 7 to 10 feet tall with a wingspan of nearly 10 feet. And he's a big old boy. His gigantic black wings wrap around his body, which is by some called fluffy or furry, and somewhat strangely round in shape. He's kind of lumpy. The Mothman's most striking features are his gigantic, perfectly round red eyes that emit their own light. Many have reported seeing these menacing red eyes peering at them from the dark before they disappear suddenly and entirely in the darkness. This very description, like, that he's kind of described as having no neck, too. Like, his head is just a sort of round dome. Some people say, well, one person, I've only heard one account say that he actually has backward-bending legs, like a crane does, for instance, like a water bird. But this description of him is one of the reasons that I was never interested in Mothman. He just seems very awkward for a cryptid. And it occurred to me that while I was researching this, you know, even if this is exactly what everybody says it is, not every cryptid has to be like some apex predator. You know what I mean? Like, it's very possible that this cryptid could be something much simpler. But after doing more and more research, I don't know. I don't know how simple it is. And we're going to get into that a little bit. Mothman apparently possesses the ability to fly at speeds of up to 100 miles per hour without even flapping his wings. This creature can take off from a standstill, rocketing straight up into the air. It is also rumored that he can manifest and disappear at will, as if phasing in and out of dimensions. And as I said before, that's one of the things that is of particular interest to me. I am a very, I am a student of the dimensions. And I believe that this makes Mothman very interesting indeed. The fact that he is a phaser, as I call them, where he can come in and out. And to me, that's a very important detail to his entire story. Some call the Mothman a harbinger of doom, because sightings increase around situations where people tragically and violently die or are subject to great emotional trauma, and that's important for later on in this episode. All this was the case in the famous Silver Bridge incident of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where 46 people suddenly met their horrifying end after the bridge collapsed on December 15, 1967. Vehicles laden with Christmas gifts were stuck in traffic on the bridge and tumbled into the freezing water of the Ohio River, forever scarring the people of the surrounding area. And many say it's due to something that was defective on the bridge. It's not just what people say, it's what was. The bridge was not properly built. There was something wrong with it. There was something defective. And because of that, this terrible situation, this terrible incident occurred. And witnesses say that at that time in 1967, Point Pleasant was a small town. So it was one of those places everybody knew everybody, and there was nobody in town who hadn't lost a friend or a family member. Very terrible situation. Above the bridge, several witnesses claimed to see the Mothman, watching, observing, apparently attempting to foretell the tragedy to come. And I have a little story, personal experience from an anonymous source. This source says, "All I know is this. About an hour, so roughly 4 p.m., before the bridge fell, my father and his brother traveled over it. They said they saw a red light over the bridge. Dad said it was like fog and it hovered. They both assumed it was a weird red fog, maybe from a nearby plant, but it was only at the entrance of the bridge as they crossed it. As he was leaving the bridge, he looked back in his rearview mirror and it was gone. An hour later, he was miles away by the time the bridge fell. They were traveling back from Ohio to West Virginia. Let me state this loud and clear. My father didn't believe in a Mothman, space aliens, demons, or anything else. For him to say this was, well, really weird. But both my uncle and my father said they saw it, so I do believe them." Some say that the Mothman is a harbinger of doom that appears when time takes an alternate course, which is a really interesting theory, as if this is a situation that should have never occurred, but did occur in this timeline. In the timeline, you know, how do you explain that? I don't know, but that's just what some people say about the Mothman. He kind of shows up when time runs off the rails and goes its own way and causes a catastrophe. In another situation, he appeared before a witness who would go on to survive a catastrophic plane crash that left many burning alive in a horrifying hellscape. Some, however, survived to live with the memories of the nightmares that they had witnessed. I think it was like 17 survivors on this plane crash, but far more died. Still others report being chased in the dark by the being, being menacingly watched from a distance, or even having their pets carried off by it. All of these tales lead to the same persistent question: who or what is the Mothman? West Virginia. The land from which the Mothman is rumored to originate was considered haunted even by the natives before any Europeans came to the area. They mainly used the land as hunting grounds, but accounts say they never dared to settle there. Though the Mothman as it is known was never described prior to John Keel giving it a name in his famous book, The Mothman Prophecies, native legends of thunderbirds have existed in this part of the country as far back as oral history goes. To this day, many believe the Mothman to be nothing more than some giant bird akin to this legendary thunderbird. Some say it is a giant horned owl. Others say a sandhill crane, and still others say a harpy eagle. Opposers of these simple explanations abound, however. A lot of people are just like, no, this is not a giant bird. This thing has a wingspan of 10 feet and stands almost that tall as well. Like, there's no way this can be confused for an owl. Many of the people who have witnessed the Mothman knew and know exactly what these giant birds look like. They argue that there is simply no way that what they saw was merely a bird. Despite these birds in question being large, they are nowhere near the size of the Mothman. Excuse me. And people have uploaded photos, people have uploaded photos of these big birds in the woods, and then they'll, edit the photo. And they'll suck all the light out of it, and they'll make it look really dark and black and white almost, and then they'll be like, see how you could confuse this for a Mothman? And it's like, yeah, but you basically photoshopped it to look like Mothman, but it's a bird. Like, you can't, obviously, if you're willing to doctor the image up and make it look like something it's not, guess what? It's gonna look like something it's not. But if you just take a picture of an eagle or a sandhill crane, I know they're everywhere where I live, and there's no way that could be confused as a Mothman. The movements aren't even the same. Nothing is the same. The closest similarity between any of these birds and the Mothman is in perfect darkness. The shape is kind of the same. Like, the head, birds don't really have a profound neck a lot of the time, except a sandhill crane definitely does. Sandhill crane is all neck. So that one is immediately out for me. They say that one because sandhill cranes have red on their heads sometimes, and that could be what confuses people for giant red glowing eyes. I don't buy it. But in the case of the harpy eagle and the owl, the shape is similar, I'll give it to you, but they are much, much, much smaller than the Mothman is described to be. So, the people who have had experiences argue that they were able to get a very good look at the creature prior to it flying away, vanishing, or even pursuing them. In the case of the Scarberries and the Mallettes, the entity actually pursued them at great speeds of up to 100 miles per hour. These are two families who have had experiences with the Mothman chasing them. And, you know, this episode is a little bit different. This account of the Mothman, this telling of the Mothman is a little bit different than most podcasts would do it. Because most podcasts or YouTube videos, what they would essentially do is they would give you all the accounts, and they'd name all the names, and they'd give you all the dates, and they'd make this perfect timeline for you of everything that happened. And then, because there is so much information on the Mothman, what would end up happening is you would have this 2 hour long story telling of the Mothman, the same information that you already know. No alternative theories. Everything is just a regurgitation. So I'm not really focusing on dates and times and first and last names and all that stuff, because I don't think it matters. I think what matters is the information that is portrayed in the accounts, and not necessarily the perfect names, ages, dates, and social security numbers of everybody involved. I think that a lot of podcasters and YouTubers, they see this kind of content as content that is already written for them. Somebody else has already written this content, so they can just regurgitate it and get 100,000 views on their video, and then boom, go home. Day of work is done. But me, I'm actually interested in this alternative stuff. I'm interested in the information and how the dots connect. So that's why, if you are wondering, well, when was this? Where was this? Where exactly did this happen? That stuff isn't important to me. If you want to look up these names and find that information for yourself, you can. But I think I'm leading you to something bigger. So anyway, this Mothman chased these families at 100 miles per hour in their vehicles. So they were able to clock the speeds. I think one of them was going 80, and one of them was straight up we were going 100 miles per hour, and this thing was keeping up with us. This is much faster than any of the birds that the speculative arguers bring to the table. The great horned owl, the sandhill crane, and the harpy eagle all max out at or under 50 miles per hour. This is a far cry from the 80 to 100 mile per hour speeds that the Mothman has been literally clocked at traveling. The Mothman is also rarely, if ever, the only strange thing that happens. And this is where stuff starts to get fun, guys. This is where I really start getting involved. Like, I'm just kind of like, even now, I'm getting excited. The Mothman is rarely, if ever, the only strange thing that happens at the time of its sightings. Typically, an uptick in UFO activity, men in black contact, and sickness and death occur in accompaniment with the Mothman. Now, a lot of people are just like, well, yeah, he's a harbinger of doom. So, like, he's coming here and, like, bad stuff happens when he comes here. I think it's a little more connected than that. How can this be explained when arguing, however, that the Mothman is nothing more than a widely known and recognized species of large bird? Exactly. Because he's not. He's not a large bird. He's a Mothman. The Mothman transcends time. This is another fascinating thing about him. This creature has shaped the culture of Point Pleasant and the surrounding area. The legend continues long after the sightings have dwindled down. To this day, however, people are still saying they see Mothman. People in other parts of the country continue to come forward with sightings of this bizarre winged cryptid. He has been spotted in Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, and a number of other states near West Virginia, prompting the question of whether there are more than one of them or if the Mothman travels to other places. I mean, think about it. There's a ton of sightings in Chicago. A ton of sightings in Illinois. In Illinois, it's crazy. Some people have reported seeing him in Kentucky. Some people have seen him other places in the South as well. New England, of course. Like, this guy gets around, or there's more than one, right? Some attribute the Mothman to places of great water influence. The movement of water does cause paranormal things, and we talked a little bit about that in my Wendigo story. Which may or may not be a Wendigo. It's just sort of the name that stuck. Could have been a Bigfoot, but you can find that, the thing in the woods. That's the one that I did with Tony Merkel on the Confessionals. We talked a little bit about how water is, there's something strange that happens around water. It's widely claimed that there is something about rivers or confluence of water being a gateway or causing gateways to come into existence, portals, essentially. Dimensional bleed. This theory exists in many places in legends and lore, especially in North America. And who knows why? Whether it's the great amount of energy that water causes to exist and just the sheer force pushes energy into the environment, or its ability to retain memory. We know that we can actually store data in water. Or is it something more paranormal that we may never know, something that we're going to have to wait to learn because there's simply no way for us to know for sure at this current time? Who can say? But before we go further, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. So is water what causes or attracts Mothman? We know he was seen above the bridge before it collapsed. Which of course is over the Ohio River. There are a lot of rivers where he tends to hang out. That's, you know, definitely true. But personally, I think it's something else. Others, including myself, say the Mothman is attracted to radiation, nuclear power, or large collections of munitions. I think this is a little more on point. Point Pleasant, pardon the pun, itself used to be a holding ground for a large amount of ammunition and explosives during the Cold War era. The area these munitions were held in is known as the TNT area because of the type of weaponry that was kept there. Now, all that is left are ruins and abandoned dome-like structures. Many claim that satanic activities abound in the TNT area, and there has been evidence of animal sacrifice, rituals, and bizarre happenings throughout the area. Some people have even had sightings of the Mothman in the TNT area. It is an interesting detail that Illinois possesses the most nuclear power plants in the United States, and the other states surrounding West Virginia also possess more of these plants than any of the other states in the country. So surrounding this whole area are states with the most nuclear power plants in the country. Coincidence? Because, you know, one thing about these types of cryptids, the ones that, like, seem to hone in on individuals and stuff, is people think, like, they're coming for you. And that may be the case in some of these situations. It might not. You might just be a thing that they're doing when they're not doing what they're actually supposed to be doing. You might just be, you know, they might just be messing with you when, you know, they're taking a break from what they're actually doing. Humans like to think that they are the focus of everything, but, you know, to be honest, it's really possible that these things are just here for a bigger plan, for a bigger end, and we just sort of get in the way sometimes and witness them, and then, yeah, they scare us or they attempt to hurt us because we got in the way. Who knows? Other people, more speculative people, say that the Mothman exists where high levels of drugs and alcohol is consumed. In other words, the Mothman is a result of nothing but drunkenness and is only seen by those under the influence. The problem with this is that most of those who have witnessed the Mothman have been widely considered the reliable and least likely of people to lie. This was before people could profit off of crazy ideas. And these people were often Christians, or at least spiritual, not really those prone to consume drugs or alcohol in large amounts. These were people who went to church, your grandma and grandpa types. These were small town Americans who were most likely the ones who were least likely to make things up for no reason, and were especially unlikely to do drugs. Right? Like, when you think about it, nowadays, you know, kids these days, and everybody thinks everybody's just on drugs all the time. But there was a day in this country where people actually did try to resist drugs. And I'm not saying that Christians can't drink or get drunk or do drugs, but I am saying that back then in the South, it probably wasn't very likely that these people were just out here going to church on Sunday, you know, being stand-up citizens, and then consuming a bunch of drugs and alcohol and making up the Mothman. I'm not saying it's impossible, but to me it doesn't make sense. However, we unfortunately exist in a world where other people sometimes have an interest in slipping unwilling and unknowing individuals drugs. Could it be possible, and this is a very interesting theory, that the CIA was drugging people's water supplies with hallucinogenic and psychedelic drugs as an experiment to see if they could witness cryptids or supernatural creatures? We literally have verified situations such as Operation Midnight Climax. That's the one where they were slipping the dudes who would go to like the strip clubs and stuff. They'd give them LSD and stuff, and then they'd go to the strip clubs and, like, lose their minds. The MKUltra experiments, obviously. And this one that I found, this 1951 Pont Saint-Esprit mass poisoning, which we'll talk about more about later. Was there more to these experiments than meets the eye? Were they not only testing how people behave under the influence of LSD and other psychedelic substances, but also literally trying to communicate or increase the validation and number of cryptid sightings? Or maybe beings from other dimensions? Were they trying to expand people's minds? Were they trying to force experiences on people? What was their reasoning for this? Were they trying to develop a weapon to cause mass hysteria amongst an enemy populace, maybe? It is said that such drugs do indeed allow one to see things that exist on other planes of existence. And, you know, I don't do drugs like that, but I have done LSD and I have done mushrooms in my past life. And I will tell you straight up that there are definitely ways that you experience things that are different than your reality seems to be. So, like, you do experience things that are different from the way that they are when you're completely sober. And who can say why? Like, there's some people that say, you know, like, mushrooms actually are good for you. They have healing qualities. And when you consume these psychedelic mushrooms, you are actually awakened to things that healing qualities that previously you weren't experiencing, because there's no real medication on the market that does some of the things that psychedelic mushrooms do. And that's why it's now legal to consume them in a lot of places, because you can microdose on them and it makes you feel better. It helps you sleep again. It, like, decreases anxiety. It does all of these things. You know, like, I have terrible insomnia, and it's one of the things that helped me with that. So, are these psychedelic substances, this LSD and whatnot, being slipped into the water supply by the CIA, and that's what's causing all of this? This was the Cold War era. They were doing all sorts of crazy stuff, right? Like, all gloves were off. Like, we're just going to do whatever we're going to do, and nobody's going to know about it until years later. So, at this point, I'm going to begin piecing together a completely alternative Mothman theory. One that may be out there, because it appears like nothing is truly original anymore, but one that I personally haven't heard yet. And this is where I think, I honestly believe this, okay? Like, this isn't just something I'm saying. This is my honest take on the Mothman. The Mothman is not what he has been told to be. The Mothman is a traveler from other realms, yes, but he is also somebody else. Remember earlier when I mentioned that Men in Black sightings increase when he's around? My theory is that the Mothman is Indrid Cold, the smiling man, the grinning man. He is a resident of the Uncanny Valley. For those of you who don't know who Indrid Cold is, he is a resident of the Uncanny Valley, which is that place where negative human emotions are triggered by something that appears almost human but is not human. You know, I call them skinwalkers. But they are essentially human-like non-humans. You know, you've heard me talk about them a ton. And Indrid Cold is this guy who appears when the Mothman appears sometimes. And he is a human-like non-human, it appears. And he is, he always has this grin on him, like this wide, toothy grin that is unnerving and scary. And this is just, that's Indrid Cold. And many people have reported seeing him, and I don't think it's any coincidence that those sightings are around the same time that Mothman is being seen, right? Think about it. People who have seen or even just merely been around Mothman have said, for instance, that they felt immediate horror and dread. It was a feeling that overtook them suddenly. Horror and dread, and just like, I have to get out. I have to get away from here. By either viewing or feeling the presence of the Mothman, people would feel an overwhelming level of these emotions that often triggered their fight or flight instincts. right? Like, we've talked about a couple of these situations already. Indrid Cold, then, he's one of these men in black, one of these guys that appears, and if I didn't give him a proper introduction, I'm sorry. I just, you know, like I kind of said, like, I'm going about this at a little bit of a different way than most people, but he was first described as showing up in a UFO, essentially chasing somebody down and then telekinetically speaking to them and asking mundane questions and whatnot. And we'll get into this, but I think I'm going to do another episode on Indrid Cold to piece it together. But he's either some sort of shapeshifter who takes the form of the Mothman, or the Mothman is actually some sort of piece of high technology. It's a suit. The eyes are for some technological purpose, as are the wings and the puffy nature of the suit. People report seeing the Mothman fly without flapping his wings, up to and perhaps faster than 100 miles per hour. The eyes are described as glowing, emitting light. They're not reflecting, they're emitting them. Like headlights or lasers. The size of the Mothman ranges from 7 to 10 feet. If it is a suit or a small craft, that's the perfect size for somebody to fit inside of. Think about our own suits that we've manufactured for, like, underwater and space exploration, extreme sports like wingsuiting, and even most recently these jetpack apparatuses that also, by the way, people are saying are aliens. Remember Peru, the face peelers? The grinning man, Indrid Cold, also seems to prefer colder seasons. He's most commonly seen between winter and spring, when it is chilly or cold out, especially in the states that he likes to appear in. The Mothman is described as fluffy, puffy, or misshapen, kind of like a big down jacket. Do you guys see where I'm going with this? I was always confused by the description of Mothman because people have described him as very awkward looking. They have said that when he walks, it looks like he doesn't know how, like it's difficult for him. Like it might when you are an astronaut wearing a spacesuit attempting to run. That's kind of how they describe him when he moves on foot. Most cryptids have very definitive and sensible features, right? And we kind of see them as these elevated beings because they can travel dimensions and they can disappear without a trace and they can enter portals and maybe even create portals. And, like, so we see them kind of as more evolved. Most of us do, anyway. You know, Bigfoot has camouflage to avoid being seen. The Wendigo is pale and human-like and an apex predator. Dogman looks like an upright walking dog and can phase in and out of dimensions. The Loch Ness Monster is a certified dinosaur with, like, fins and a long neck that has evaded capture for decades. But the Mothman is just this lumpy, awkward, fluffy Pokemon thing with red eyes that can't walk properly. It just doesn't check out for me. And like I said at the beginning of this episode, it could be that he's just a simple cryptid. Not every cryptid has to be this ultra-evolved being. Like, when we find these ancient fish at the bottom of the ocean, yes, they glow and they emit their own light and stuff like that, but, like, they're also just very, like, lost looking, you know? Like, they just kind of seem lost. Like, they don't know what to do. And maybe Mothman is one of those types of cryptids. Or maybe Mothman is a suit. How could a highly evolved cryptid be so ridiculous and yet avoid capture, either physically or on camera? So that's when it hit me, you know? Like, after all of that, I was like, around the same time that the Mothman was making its mark on history in the 1960s, in New England and some other surrounding areas, so too was Indrid Cold. He's also called the Grinning Man or the Smiling Man because of that toothy smile that he's permanently affixed to his face because he talks through telekinesis. His mouth doesn't move. Many people at the same time report seeing a smiling man that they don't attribute to Indrid Cold. It's considered another cryptid. It's this smiling man. You've probably heard of him. He like appears in dreams and stuff. And this smiling man is either stalking them, attempting contact with them, literally speaking to them, some report that, sneaking into their home and watching them from the dark corner, or simply walking around the neighborhood, like the Hat Man and stuff like that. Sometimes people just see him out and about. The Mothman, coincidentally or not, was also performing some of these activities, specifically stalking, chasing, watching, and just generally meandering about. People report symptoms of radiation poisoning or sickness, paralysis while awake, sleep paralysis, so paralysis while you're in your dream world, and severe emotional trauma, including PTSD, anxiety, sleeplessness, horror, and sadness following and during their sightings of both Mothman and Indrid Cold. This grinning man, this smiling man. Do you see where I'm going with this? These coincidences are very specific and recognizable. So by now, you should just know that when people talk about the grinning man or the smiling man, that's Indrid Cold, guys. Like, that, who else could it be? Unless there's another creature, cryptid, guy, alien, demon, walking around doing the same exact thing, which is possible. I think it's Indrid Cold. He is the grinning man. He is the smiling man. And he's also the Mothman. It's also interesting how people who have seen the Mothman and people who have seen Indrid Cold independently of each other have all heard the same clicking sounds. Some say this is the sound the Mothman makes. It's like a guttural clicking. But others have heard the same sound in the presence of Indrid Cold. Why? He's the grinning man, the smiling man, the Mothman. Indrid Cold speaks sometimes, and when he does, he's very inquisitive in nature. He wants to know about you, your name, where you live, what kind of things you do in the city, and other things that to others are simply mundane topics of discussion. The Mothman, though, is also inquisitive in nature, mainly watching or observing, and in some situations appearing to do so prior to disasters such as the Silver Bridge collapse and plane crashes and other situations where the Mothman appears to just sort of watch, and people say he's a harbinger of doom because he just appears to seemingly observe. You know, like the situations that occur before and sometimes during. Last year, we're tying this puppy together, folks. Last year, in 2022, a massively successful horror film called Smile was released. The movie, maybe some of you guys saw it. I haven't seen it yet. I kind of want to see it, especially now. The movie had a budget of $17 million, but it grossed nearly $218 million. Massively successful. And once again, my camera just shut off. So we're going to take a quick break, folks. I don't know why this keeps happening when I talk about some of these topics, especially men in black, men in suits. It's getting kind of ridiculous, but we'll be right back. All right, we're back. You know, I leave that stuff in there in the videos when it messes up like that because it's getting kind of ridiculous. Like, I've honed my studio and my craft to an expert level, and it's so bizarre. Like, some of the things that happen with my gear have never happened, like, in all the years that I've used my gear. And I start this podcast and weird stuff starts happening. I always thought that podcasters and whatnot who talked about this stuff were faking it in some way. And then I started doing it myself and realizing that there is something strange about talking about some of this stuff that really seems to mess up and trigger your gear to behave in abnormal ways. So I don't know what that's about. I do apologize for it because it does feel unprofessional. But at the same time, like, it's like I said in the last episode, man. Like, if I just disappear or something, it's because they got me, dude. Like, so that's why I keep it in, because I want you guys to, like, kind of see that stuff. It's really, really weird. And I can't explain it. So anyway, we were talking about this movie, Smile, and we were talking about how, you know, last year, 2022, Smile came out, had a budget of $17 million, and it grossed nearly $218 million. So, massively popular, very successful. The plot of Smile revolves around this smiling, skinless, semi-humanoid figure with several sets of malformed jaws nesting within an enormous smiling mouth. The entity feeds on trauma, and the only way to escape it is to brutally kill somebody else in front of a witness to traumatize them. It also possesses the ability to put people into a trance. Do you guys see where I'm going with this? So that it can force its way inside them in order to kill them. They call this thing the smile entity, the monstrosity, or the smile demon. Besides the other obviously similar characteristics of this movie monster, this trance state is a strikingly recognizable trait when compared to Mothman and Indrid Cold, because people report this thing gets in your head and it can paralyze you and it can speak telekinetically or whatever to you. It can paralyze you with fear. People who have experienced close contact with the Grinning Man and Mothman have both experienced entering trance-like and paralyzed state of some sort. What else smiles maniacally and fills us with dread? Anybody? Clowns! Now, clowns are kind of outdated, and they were not exactly invented to horrify. Or were they? But is it not weird how the sight of one almost immediately makes one uncomfortable? And if they aren't smiling widely, wide toothy grins already or whatever, they have one painted on, or they're wearing a mask of some sort. Like, it's Halloween time almost, guys. Like, there's going to be so many spooky clowns running around. Why? Almost every horror film portrays clowns not as protagonists, as I think they were designed to be, but as antagonists, and often as murderous or possessed, though there is no shortage of smiling demon clowns in the horror genre. Some immediately recognizable examples are Pennywise from It, horrifying, also a shapeshifter and a demon, and Twisty the Clown from American Horror Story, who had his own strange thing. He was like timeless or something. There was something odd about that. It's been a long time since I watched American Horror Story, any episode from any season, but I remembered that guy. So why am I making all these correlations? Like, this is an episode about Mothman. Why am I talking about clowns all of a sudden? Well, remember that we got here through Indrid Cold, the Grinning Man. That's the bridge from Mothman to clowns. The point is the smile. So why am I making this correlation? It is my theory that there is an entity that is demonic, alien, some kind of Nephilim, some kind of Elohim that thrives on fear, pain, and emotional trauma. This isn't exactly a new addition to the world of monsters, but what is, I think, is that the entity is Indrid Cold. And, or is a master of Indrid Cold, controls Indrid Cold. Indrid Cold serves this thing. But it could be Indrid Cold himself. This means that the entity is also in cahoots, or is, or wears, as like a suit, the Mothman, and also the Men in Black, who were made famous by various Indrid Cold stories and sightings. Indrid Cold kind of invented or pretty much put forth the idea of the Men in Black. It's not the CIA, as some people think. This is something different. These Men in Black are probably not human. They're non-human humanoids. And all of these beings are very inquisitive in nature, and they also seem to cause fear, trauma, or some kind of sickness. They want to learn more about us. They need to watch us. They exist to observe and frighten and perhaps record the horror that they cause. Think about it. Why are we naturally afraid of wide, toothy grins? Horror stories didn't invent that fear and inject it into our collective psyche. Now, it's ingrained. We have evolved to be afraid of such a thing. Why? Where does that come from? Animal predators show their teeth before they kill. Psychopaths also often do the same thing, laughing or smiling as they commit atrocities, and they feel nothing. This could be the reason behind the grin. A grin that is fixed upon the face of the imposter. Another reason for the smile could be the fact that these non-human, human-like things are not entirely sure of how to get close enough to us before scaring us. They affix the smile to their visage, and it is exaggerated in a failed attempt to put us at ease. After all, smiles do not naturally frighten us. They are supposed to comfort us. Exaggerated and ridiculous smiles are what frighten us. They alert us that something out of the normal is going on. When there's a huge, wide, toothy grin, when somebody is smiling like that, we know that something is not quite right. But if we're just smiling in passing, or we're just having a conversation and something is funny, a smile is a very good thing. So it could be that these things don't know when they cross that line. In this idea, it is a display of ignorance on the part of whatever entity is attempting to cause and collect our fear. The Mothman, whether a shapeshifter or a piece of technology, searches for fear. He goes where fear happens, and chaos happens, and death happens, or is going to happen, or could happen. He records actions and events that will result in emotional trauma and then leaves. He can also, and indeed does, cause fear. Sometimes he chases people. People express feeling horror when they see him. Sometimes, however, he is also recorded as sad or lost or stuck. People have said that when they see him, they felt pity for him. In some situations. This is a very intriguing aspect of the Mothman that I'm still not entirely sure how to explain. Some people express feelings of sadness towards the Mothman. That is so weird, right? Is that sort of a trick to get you to continue looking at him, or is that something else? It's very interesting. Perhaps the Mothman is merely another creature that becomes possessed by some higher power. Maybe he is a being of our plane of existence that we just haven't discovered. Maybe he's stuck here. If he's not a suit, maybe he can't leave like he would like to leave. So he continues to do the bidding of this smile demon, of Indrid Cold. Some people think that Indrid Cold and the Men in Black appear to learn more about what you saw when it comes to Mothman or cryptids, but could it be the opposite, that these cryptids are actually afraid of the Men in Black and Indrid Cold and the smiling monster, the demon, behind it all? Is that possible? It's the other way around. These Men in Black aren't making sure that you didn't see anything or anything like that. They are keeping track of what's going on with the cryptid. It makes sense that a higher evil power would use human-like non-humans such as the Men in Black and Indrid Cold to observe us, warn us not to investigate these things, and make close contact. We won't immediately run from something that is human-like like we would from a gigantic monster with wings. The grinning man, Indrid Cold, I'm beating this horse dead because I really want you to get it. And sometimes the Men in Black also possess telekinetic abilities so that they can speak without moving their smile or their face. They enter your mind and have conversations or instill feelings that way. This implies that either humans have telekinetic ability that they have devolved to forget or been stripped of because of man's fall from grace, and that there is a spiritual aspect to all of these beings. You guys all know that I believe that. So is this all some fear-inducing cult, essentially serving some Elohim, the smiling demon, or some other spiritual being? Are these things all simply isolated situations and experiences that in no way relate to each other? Or is there more to this that we have yet to realize? We're trying to connect the dots here, not just invent more monsters. These things are probably connected. Is the Mothman an interdimensional craft or an interdimensional being? Is he one form of Indrid Cold? Is Indrid Cold one form of him? Is he a piece of technology? Or is he something entirely unique unto himself and has no connection to any of these things? So far, nobody can say for sure, but I haven't heard this theory brought up. And considering all of the things that so closely touch each other when it comes to Mothman and Indrid Cold and the Men in Black and the Smiling Demon, it just, to me, it clicked. Like, it seems like there's a correlation here. We haven't even really touched on the idea that all of this fear was furthered along by the CIA. Some believe that they poison small populations with LSD, like we said before, to create an environment where nothing is as it seems. That's going to be a huge proponent for the end of the world, folks. Holograms and drugs, man. That's how they're going to convince us that their God is the God. In some situations, it has actually been proven that the CIA does this, as in the case of Operation Midnight Climax, which we talked about. But another interesting one is this 1951 case of Pont Saint-Esprit. It was a mass poisoning where mass hysteria leading even to murder continues to haunt people to this very day, and accounts of Mothman-like beings were seen in that situation as well. Fascinating stuff. What would be the reason for this? Is it to heighten fear? Maybe the CIA serves the same smiling entity that thrives on the fear of humans. We know that these three-letter agencies are corrupt and are basically just the puppets for the puppet politicians that are puppeted by higher things. The CIA are just the human version of the Men in Black, the non-human, human-like beings that kind of imitate the CIA. It's like this weird spiral. So maybe the CIA is in cahoots, even maybe unbeknownst to themselves a lot of the time. After witnessing everything that is going on in today's world, would that really be such a surprise? And honestly, what better part of human existence to infiltrate than our entertainment industry for much of this purpose? This would make us, as humans, a literal fear farm for the smiling God. This thing needs fear. It records our fear. It shows up when things that will scare us happen. it approaches us in the aftermath of horror, it feeds off of it. It needs it. I think that the Mothman is directly related to or controlled by Indrid Cold. And Indrid Cold is, of course, the smiling man or the grinning man. Whether or not Indrid Cold is the end of it, or there's another one after him, another one that he serves, I don't know yet. But we've connected three different cryptids at this point. And they're all in such close proximity and to each other, and they also appear to do the same things and be in the same places and all this kind of stuff. It's like, how could you not connect them? You know, there's not a billion gazillion cryptids out there. Some of these things might be the same thing or be doing the same thing, working with each other. You know, like humans work with horses, and you know, humans work with dogs, and like we often work together. Birds work with alligators to clean their teeth, and hippos and stuff like that. Like, these things can work together, and maybe they do, to serve this Elohim that just loves human fear. I think it's so possible that I can barely at this point see the Mothman or Indrid Cold as something simpler. And I think that as I continue to do more research on this, I'm gonna have another episode on all this, because it's just crazy. Right? Like, it's just so crazy to me. You know, there's another interesting one, and I wasn't sure if I was gonna put this in, but I am. On May 22nd in 2011, there was a tornado that hit the town of Joplin, Missouri. And a lot of you guys might remember this. It was terrible. I used to live in Missouri, and like even I remember this. This tornado killed around 158 people. Like, that's how extreme it was. Some of those that survived, especially children, would go on to tell stories of what they called butterfly people. And the one recurrent element of this story is that while they were on this brink of death, these butterfly people would appear and either protect them or observe them or just be seen in general. What is that? Like, that feels like the Mothman too. This is a completely different incident where these sort of moth butterfly like creature or things in suits sort of appear to observe near death experiences, trauma, horror, and death. What is that? Are these some kind of fae? Like, that Joplin, the butterfly people, that might be something completely different. I don't know for sure. And a lot of people say that's not true. And a lot of other people say it's a hallucination from people who almost died in a tornado. We might never know for sure. But it's an interesting detailed story to put at the end of this episode. What do you guys think? Like, isn't this wild? Have you guys heard of this kind of stuff before? Like, let me know what you guys think in the comments. As always, keep it civil, please. I have zero patience for negative comments. I get them, and I just immediately just know that this isn't the podcast for you. But for those who are interested in these alternative theories, what do you think? Are we being farmed for our fear? Is this smiling God using the entertainment industry and in-person experiences to essentially become more powerful and get joy out of our horror, out of our fear, out of our trauma, and out of our death? What do you guys think? Nothing's as it seems. We have to start looking at things in a different light, in a different way, instead of just regurgitating the same stuff over and over. That's what I like to do with this podcast. I hate podcasts that just say the same information over and over. Like, they listen to a podcast, and then they do their podcast episode, and they or their YouTube video, and they just say the same exact stuff. It's like, you didn't even look at anything. You just sort of did stuff that other people did. We have to start looking at stuff differently, guys. All right, guys, that's all for today. I had a great time talking about this with you guys. Expect more Mothman content in the future. As always, don't drink the water and question everything. See you guys.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.